This is Chris.
And this is Jim.
And this is Double Dome Digitally Speaking.
Enjoy the show.
Picture this for a second. It's January.
Okay, I'm picturing it.
You've just allocated this really healthy $15,000 monthly budget to your Google Ads campaigns. And it is just working beautifully.
The dream scenario.
Right. You are pulling in this absolute mountain of leads. Your sales team is thrilled. The dashboard is just glowing green. And you're sitting there thinking, you know, I have finally cracked the code. I've got this digital marketing thing figured out.
Yeah, you feel like a genius.
Exactly. But then May arrives.
Yes, May.
You haven't touched a single setting. You are still spending that exact same $15,000. But suddenly, your lead volume just, it falls off a cliff.
It just vanishes.
Yeah. That budget barely moves the needle anymore. And you're staring at your screen wondering, like, what on earth just happened? Did the internet break?
It is an incredibly frustrating moment. And honestly, it's a scenario that plays out in businesses all over the world every single year.
Every year.
Every year. You go from feeling like an absolute marketing wizard in the winter to feeling, well, completely lost and just bleeding cash by the spring.
Right. And when that happens, I mean, it feels personal. It feels like you broke something in the back end.
It really does.
But today we're looking at this fascinating breakdown from Double Dome Digital Marketing. It's written by Joe Medico, their director of client services.
Yeah.
And it explains exactly why this isn't bad luck. It's actually a completely predictable market dynamic.
Yeah, that's the key word, predictable.
And more importantly, the source outlines this three-pillar seasonal ad strategy to actually fix it. Okay, yeah. Let's unpack this. Because when you are the one holding the purse strings and you watch your ROI just, you know, vanish into thin air, the first instinct is to totally panic.
It is, yeah. But the most important thing for you to understand right out of the gate is that you haven't suddenly forgotten how to run a business.
Right.
And your product hasn't magically lost its appeal overnight. What you're experiencing in May is it's a structural shift in the digital environment you're operating in.
A structural shift.
Exactly. And because it is a predictable shift, it means it can be completely reverse engineered.
Okay, so it isn't just a random roll of the dice. I mean, that helps lower the blood pressure a bit.
Definitely.
But before we get into, like, how to fix the problem, we really need to understand the mechanics of what causes this massive seasonal price spike in the first place. Like, what is actually going on behind the scenes in the Google Ads auction when Q2 rolls around?
Well, we have to remember that Google Ads is not a catalog, right? It doesn't have fixed printed prices.
Right. It's not a menu.
No, it is a live dynamic auction happening in milliseconds every single time someone hits enter on a search bar.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And in our 2026 reality, when May hits, industries across the board are gearing up for their mid-year pushes.
Right. End of quarter two.
Exactly. Corporate teams, they want to show really strong numbers to their boards before the end of Q2. So what happens? Competitors just flood the market with what the industry calls Q2 budget dumps.
Q2 budget dumps. That sounds chaotic.
Oh, it is. They suddenly have these aggressive targets and, you know, surplus money they just need to deploy quickly. So they pour it all into the auction at the exact same time.
So let me see if I'm tracking the math here. The actual inventory of searches, like the number of people looking for your services, that hasn't necessarily doubled, right?
Nope. The search volume is usually pretty stable.
But the amount of money chasing those exact same searches has just multiplied overnight.
Precisely. It is pure supply and demand.
Wow.
When a flood of competitors enters that bidding pool with these massive Q2 budget dumps, they artificially drive up the floor price for every single impression.
Because they're just outbidding each other.
Exactly. The cost per click just skyrockets.
And what usually happens next, I imagine, is you call up your marketing agency, you're totally panicked about the drop in leads, and their standard response is just, hey, the market is hot right now. We need to increase your budget by 30% just to stay competitive.
Yeah, which is what Double Dome quite aptly calls the fluff approach.
The fluff approach.
Mm-hmm. Right. It's the path of least resistance for an agency, but it's terrible for the business.
How so?
Well, think about it. If you are just throwing more money at the exact same keywords to get the exact same number of clicks you were already getting back in January, you aren't actually growing your business.
You're just paying more for the same thing.
Exactly. You are merely renting your growth. You are entirely at the mercy of your competitors' budgets. If a rival decides to, say, spend an extra $50,000 next week, you're forced to spend more just to tread water.
I mean, I want to push back on this just a little bit, though.
Sure, go for it.
Because whenever I see wild, sudden price fluctuations on a massive tech platform, my mind immediately goes to the platform itself, not just the other users.
Ah, I see where you're going.
Right. Like, are we entirely sure these cost spikes aren't driven by some mysterious Google algorithm update designed to just squeeze more revenue out of advertisers?
It's a common theory.
Is it just like surge pricing on a rideshare app when it starts raining? You know, the feeling everyone wants a ride at the same time, so the algorithm just automatically hacks the price multiplier to capitalize on the panic.
What's fascinating here is that while Google certainly has highly complex algorithms running the show, this specific seasonal spike is fundamentally less about a hidden algorithmic lever being pulled in Silicon Valley and much more about raw, transparent competitor behavior.
Really? So it's not surge pricing?
The rideshare analogy is a great way to look at it, but there's one key difference. In a rideshare surge, the platform itself is dictating the price multiplier based on rider demand versus driver supply.
Right. The app sets the price.
Exactly. But in the Google Ads auction, the advertisers themselves are the ones directly bidding up the price.
Oh.
If your cost per click jumps from $5 to $12, it's because the business across town is literally logging in and telling Google they're willing to pay $12 for that exact click.
Oh, wow. Okay, so they're doing it to themselves.
Yeah, they are. Blaming an algorithm update is honestly often a cop-out for poor planning. If you're caught off guard by a Q2 budget dump, it's actually a structural failure on your part for not preparing for a totally predictable market shift.
Ouch. A structural failure. I mean, I have to defend the hypothetical business owner here for a second.
Fair enough.
If you're running a commercial plumbing company, you know, you're focused on dispatching trucks and managing inventory. You aren't necessarily watching the macroeconomic bidding trends of rival plumbing companies.
No, of course not.
It's tough to call it a failure when you're just trying to run your daily operations.
That's a very fair point, and it's exactly why you hire experts or build systems to handle it for you. It's not a moral failure, it's an architectural one.
An architectural one.
Right. You built a house for sunny weather and it's raining. So the question becomes, how do we reinforce the house?
Right.
How do we build a structure that actually survives that Q2 budget dump without just blindly throwing more money at the problem?
Which brings us nicely out of the problem and into the preparation. How do we protect the budget before the surge even hits? Let's dive into the first part of Double Dome's strategy here, which is creative reserves and asset priming.
Right, asset priming. The core philosophy here is that you absolutely cannot wait until costs are at their absolute peak to start experimenting with your messaging.
That makes sense.
When you are paying a massive premium for every single click in May, you do not want to be testing out unproven headlines or, you know, tweaking images to see which call to action works best.
Because every failed experiment during peak season is just burning through your budget at triple the normal speed.
Exactly. It's too expensive to guess.
So what does asset priming actually look like in practice?
Yeah,
like mechanically speaking, inside an ad account.
Mechanically, it means you do all of your heavy A/B testing in the lower cost months, January, February, March.
When the auction is quiet.
Precisely. You build up this diverse reserve of creative assets. You run different copy variations, different visual layouts, different offers, and you do it when clicks are cheap.
Okay, got it.
You meticulously track that data to figure out exactly what resonates with your audience. Then, when May hits and the auction gets incredibly crowded and expensive, you turn off all the experiments.
You just flip the switch.
Yep. You pause anything that is just okay. You only run your absolute champion ads, the ones you've mathematically proven to have the highest engagement.
This sounds like training for a marathon in the winter so you can win the race in the spring.
Yeah.
You do the heavy lifting when it's quiet.
That is a great analogy, actually. But there is a technical financial benefit to asset priming that goes way beyond just having visually appealing ads.
Really? Like what?
It directly impacts what you actually pay per click. Google uses a back-end metric called quality score to help determine your final cost.
And quality score is essentially Google grading your homework, right?
That's a perfect way to put it. Google's primary goal is to keep users coming back to their search engine. So they want to serve ads that users actually find helpful and relevant.
Right. Otherwise, people stop clicking ads.
Exactly. So if your primed champion ad has a massive click-through rate because you perfected it back in February, it signals to Google that users find your ad highly relevant And here's the kicker. Google actually rewards highly relevant ads with lower costs.
Wait, really?
Yes. Your ad rank is the combination of your bid and your quality score.
Wait, let me make sure I'm getting this. So by only running these primed, high-converting assets during the Q2 dump, you keep your quality score artificially high, which actually acts as a financial shield against the rising auction costs.
You nailed it. You can literally pay a significantly lower cost per click than a competitor who is bidding way more money than you simply because your ad is proven to be better.
That is wild.
They are trying to buy their way to the top with a mediocre, untested ad, and Google is actively penalizing them for it while rewarding you for doing the prep work.
That is brilliant. You are using Google's own user experience metrics to just force a discount on your clicks during peak season.
Exactly.
But, I mean, having a high-converting ad doesn't mean much if you're showing it to the wrong people.
Right.
If we've got these primed assets ready to go, how do we make sure we aren't wasting them on the wrong clicks?
That leads us directly to the second part of the strategy, audience laser focusing, or what Double Dome calls tightening the fluff filter.
The fluff filter. I like that. Because when the auction gets that expensive, you have to be absolutely ruthless about who you are willing to spend your money on.
Exactly. Tightening the fluff filter means actively narrowing your targeting parameters to exclude low intent demographics.
Okay.
But more importantly, from a technical standpoint, it means cutting out the garbage traffic.
Garbage traffic.
Yeah. The internet is full of bots, click farms, and just accidental clicks on display networks. The strategy advocates for relying strictly on server-side verified human traffic.
Hold on. Server-side verified human traffic. That sounds like some serious IT department jargon right there.
It is a bit technical, yeah.
What does that actually look like for someone managing a standard Google Ads dashboard? Are we just like unchecking a box that says, don't show my ads to bots?
I wish it were that easy. It's a bit more involved than that, which is why it's such a massive competitive advantage.
Oh.
Google has native bot filtering, of course, but it's notoriously lenient because, well, at the end of the day, Google still makes money on those clicks until they are forced to refund them.
Right. They aren't exactly incentivized to block everything.
Exactly. Server-side verification usually involves integrating third-party click fraud software or utilizing server-level scripts that analyze a user's IP address, their device fingerprint, and behavioral patterns before the page even fully renders.
Wow. So it's deep in the code.
Yes. If the software detects a bot or a VPN commonly associated with click farms, or even just someone who has clicked your ad 5 times today without buying it, it actively blocks that IP from ever seeing your ad again.
So you are basically building an active fortress around your budget.
That's a great way to put it.
But let me play devil's advocate on the demographic side of this fluff filter for a minute.
Yeah.
But by tightening this fluff filter, aren't we risking cutting out potential new customers who are just starting their buying journey?
You mean the window shoppers?
Yeah. The window shoppers who might be doing casual research in May, but will be ready to drop 10 grand in June. It feels like we are artificially shrinking our own future pipeline just to save a few bucks today.
If we connect this to the bigger picture, it is fundamentally a question of resource allocation during a period of extreme scarcity. And in this scenario, the scarce resource is your monthly budget.
Right.
During a Q2 budget dump, the cost of acquiring a window shopper is simply too high. You cannot afford to pay peak season premium prices for someone who is just browsing or doing casual research.
Because they might click a $20 keyword and just hit the back button.
Exactly. And if you let too many of those window shoppers click your ads in May, you will completely exhaust your $15,000 budget by the second week of the month.
And then you're offline.
Right. You'll have $0 left to show your ad to the person who has a broken pipe today and their credit card in their hand right now.
Oh, I see.
You can always loosen the demographic filter again in August when the competitors run out of money and costs drop. But in May, survival requires absolute, uncompromising laser focus on high-intent, immediate buyers.
That makes total sense. Uh-huh. It's triage. You can't pay surge prices for window shoppers. You have to ensure every click has a high probability of paying you back immediately.
Exactly.
Which flows perfectly into the final piece of the puzzle here. We've optimized the creative assets so they're cheap and effective. We've built a digital fortress to filter out bots and casual browsers. Now we have to decide exactly what phrases and questions we are actually going to bid on.
The most important part.
And according to the source, this means shifting away from the absolute bloodbath of broad keywords.
Yes. This is the third pillar, long tail intent targeting. And it is arguably the most crucial shift in mindset for a business owner.
How?
The strategy piece is very clear about the folly of fighting over broad, generic terms. Let's use the example of the phrase commercial services or commercial HVAC.
Okay.
During a budget dump, bidding on a generic, broad match term like that is essentially just setting your budget on fire.
Because it's incredibly competitive, sure, but also the intent behind a two-word search is totally ambiguous.
Very ambiguous.
Someone searching commercial HVAC might be a massive enterprise facility manager looking for a $1 million vendor.
Yeah.
Or you might be a middle school student doing a geography project on how warehouses are cooled.
Or someone looking for a job as a technician, and you just don't know.
Exactly. It's a gamble.
And your massive, well-funded competitors are throwing millions of dollars at those vanity terms just to say they rank number one.
Right. Ego bidding.
Exactly. So instead of fighting that unwinnable war and paying $50 a click for a middle school student, the strategy pivots to intent gap targeting.
Intent gap targeting. And here is where the 2026 reality really comes into play, which I found so fascinating. We aren't just talking about adding a location to a keyword like commercial HEA Chicago.
No, much deeper than that.
We are talking about targeting the highly specific consultative questions that buyers are increasingly asking AI tools today, like ChatGPT, Gemini, and modern search bars.
This is a critical evolution in how the internet works right now. Corporate buyers have gotten incredibly sophisticated.
Yeah, they have.
They aren't just typing two caveman words into a search bar and browsing 10 pages of links anymore. They are asking complex, highly specific questions. They are treating these AI tools and search engines like highly paid consultants.
That's a great way to frame it.
So instead of bidding on the bloodbath term, commercial HVAC, you utilize exact match or tight phrase match strategies to bid on a long tail conversational query. Something like, what are the specific compliance requirements for commercial HVAC installation in a multi-story medical facility?
Wow. But the search volume on a seven-word query like that is going to be astronomically lower than the broad term.
Oh, the volume is much lower, yes. You might only get 50 searches a month instead of 5,000.
Right.
But the purchase intent behind that specific question is off the charts. A middle school student doesn't ask about medical facility compliance.
Good point.
A facility manager with an immediate problem and a massive budget does. And because your larger, lazier competitors are busy throwing all their money at the broad vanity terms, there is virtually zero seasonal competition for these specific consultative questions.
Oh, so that's the intent gap.
Exactly. That gap allows you to maintain a significantly lower cost per action, your actual cost to acquire a lead, even when the broader market is experiencing a massive price surge.
That is so smart. Joe Medico actually gives a great example of this in the piece with a CEO persona named Lucas.
Ah, yes, Lucas.
Lucas doesn't care about the marketing jargon. He is sick of agencies sending him monthly reports talking about generic SEO rankings or impression share on broad keywords.
He wants results.
Exactly. He wants absolute undeniable transparency. Mm-hmm. He wants to look at a dashboard that simply says, spent X dollars, made Y dollars. He wants to own a resilient growth engine, not just rent expensive, generic traffic.
And that is the fundamental philosophical difference at the heart of this entire strategy. Renting traffic means you are constantly reacting to the market. You're just a passenger.
Right.
Owning your growth engine means you have a technical backbone in place.
Mm-hmm.
You know, your primed champion assets, your strict server-side audience filters, your long-tail AI intent targeting.
All the pillars working together.
Yes. It actively protects your revenue regardless of what your competitors decide to do with their budgets.
Here's where it gets really interesting, though. And I think a lot of business owners listening might have this exact hesitation.
Let's hear it.
I understand the logic of the intent gap. Wait, if we stop bidding on the big terms like commercial services,
mm-hmm.
aren't we essentially making ourselves invisible to the widest possible audience? Doesn't that feel counterintuitive to growing a business?
This raises an important question about the difference between visibility and profitability.
Okay.
Being visible to the largest possible audience is really nothing more than a vanity metric if that audience isn't actually converting into paying customers.
Right.
In fact, being invisible to the wrong audience, or even being invisible to the right audience at the wrong time in their buying cycle, is actually the secret to protecting your return on investment.
I see. So you're intentionally trading raw, chaotic visibility for calculated authority.
Yeah.
You show up less often, But when you do show up, you are the exact answer they're looking for.
Precisely. You are saving your ammunition for the sure thing. And let's look at the AI aspect again, because this is where the real authority is built.
Okay, let's look at it.
When a facility manager asks an AI tool a highly specific, complex question about medical compliance, and your long tail targeting correctly positions your business's technical white paper or specific service page as the direct answer, you aren't just another blue link on a page of 10 generic search results.
Right, you're the answer.
Exactly. You are actively cited by the AI as the preferred answer. The psychological trust and industry authority that comes with being positioned as the definitive expert to a complex query, it's infinitely more valuable to your bottom line than generically showing up at the top of a page for a broad search term where the user's just kicking tires.
Wow. You trade being the biggest billboard on the highway for being the expert consultant sitting in their office. That is a massive paradigm shift.
It really is.
Well, we have covered some incredibly valuable ground today. We started with that terrifying, highly relatable scenario of the May budget drop, where your $15,000 suddenly feels like it's doing the work of $15.
A nightmare.
And we've walked through the mechanics of the Q2 budget dump to understand why it happens.
Mm.
It's ruthless supply and demand driven by competitors, not some mysterious algorithm glitch.
Exactly.
From there, we explored Double Dome's strategy to move from reactive bidding to proactive ownership. We detailed asset priming, running your A-B tests in the quiet winter months so you can wield high-quality scores like a shield in the spring. Yep. We broke down the mechanics of a fluff filter, using server-side verification, to lock out bots and purposefully ignoring window choppers to protect your budget. And finally, we dove into intent gap targeting, stepping out of the broad keyword bloodbath, and strategically bidding on the long-tail consultative questions that high-intent buyers are asking AI tools.
It is a highly technical, comprehensive system, but it's designed specifically for the realities of the modern, hyper-competitive digital landscape.
So what does this all mean for you? It means that whether you are managing a scrappy budget of $1,000 a month or a massive corporate budget of $50,000 a month, you absolutely do not have to be a victim of your competitors' budget dumps.
No, you don't.
You don't have to accept seasonal failure as just the price of doing business.
Yeah.
By preparing your creative, ruthlessly filtering your audience and targeting specific intent rather than just broad volume, you can build the technical backbone of your own growth engine. You can build a system that hums along efficiently year-round, regardless of what the market does.
And as we wrap up our analysis, I want to leave you with one final thought to ponder, building on what we just discussed about those long-tail AI queries.
Oh, lay it on us.
We talked extensively today about targeting the specific consultative questions people are typing into tools like ChatGPT or Gemini. But as these AI assistants become even more advanced, more proactive, and more deeply integrated into our daily lives, how long until buyers stop using traditional single-query search bars entirely?
Oh, wow. That's a fascinating progression to think about.
If the near future of search isn't a single typed question, but rather an ongoing back and forth dynamic conversation with an AI where the AI asks the buyer clarifying questions before even presenting a solution, how will businesses need to adapt? What happens to the digital marketing landscape when you have to figure out how to bid not just on a static keyword or even a long tail question, but on an actively unfolding dialogue?
Bidding on a real-time dialogue that completely changes the definition of what an ad even is. Well, that is definitely something to chew on as you look at the future of your own campaigns. Thank you so much for joining us on this deep dive. Hopefully the next time May rolls around and the market goes crazy, you won't be staring at your dashboard in a panic. You'll be the one sitting back knowing your growth engine is built to weather the storm. Take care and keep learning.
We hope you enjoyed today's topic.
Be sure to like, comment, and follow us.
And check out our other shows, all related to digital marketing.
Whether you're a web designer, Google Ads specialist, or a small business owner, we've got a show that'll help you get clarity on what's trending now in digital marketing.
And if you need help,
with 25 years of experience across 30 plus industries and thousands of projects, we deliver ruthlessly effective Google Ads, SEO, and omnichannel digital marketing campaigns.
Learn how you can get consistent leads in 30 days or less using our proven digital marketing strategies.
Contact us at doubledome.com to set up a free consultation.